Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Welcome, precious one, to this program that is designed with you in mind to cause you to walk in God's supernatural working power and to be established in the Word of God. I want to take you into our program today and get ready to be blessed. Even as we were blessed, you will never be the same.
Now, today's episode.
Will you please lift up your Bible and will you say, "This is my Bible"? It is the Word of God. It has the power to change my life and to give me an inheritance amongst all the saints. I'm not a hearer only, but I'm a doer of the Word. It's the sixth month, and the prophet Habakkuk said in Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 2, he said, "O God, revive us in the midst of the years." This year, in this season, may God revive you. May He restore you, may He replenish you, and may He cause you to be a testimony like never before. Give the Lord a mighty, 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 mighty clap offering. This is our month on dealing with savage wolves. Amen. And if you're ready for the Word of God, lift up one hand as a sign of surrender. Let's share a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's time to declare your word. Your word is already anointed. I ask that you anoint these lips of clay. Grant me utterance, make me a blessing to your people. In Jesus' name, and will the saints say, Amen. Acts chapter 20, verses 28 to 31. The Apostle Paul was speaking to the Ephesian church, and he said to them, he said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves," Acts chapter 20 from verse 28. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one of you night and day with tears." May God bless the reading of His holy word in our hearts. Will you give me an amen? The Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said to the church in Ephesus, when he was passing through, probably his last time that he would be with them, and he said that they should take heed, they should be careful unto themselves and to all the flock. And the elders and leaders of the church were there. And he said to them, they should be careful over the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made them overseers to feed the church of God. So Paul was likening the church to sheep. And God calls his church his sheep. Amen. And he told them not only to feed them, because they have been purchased by the blood of Jesus, but they should also know that when he leaves, grievous wolves will enter in amongst them, and they won't spare the flock. When grievous wolves come into the church, they don't spare the flock. And he says that not only would grievous wolves come from outside, but from inside also, there will arise people who will speak perverse things. And the purpose is to draw away disciples. And so they should watch, they should be careful, and they should remember that he warned them 3.5 years. I've been preaching sermons on savage wolves for years. And so out of the sermons I've preached on savage wolves, I put together this book titled Hunting Savage Wolves, Building a Strong Church. What Paul was saying was that the church will cease to be strong if savage wolves are allowed to be in the church. And so today I want to talk on different types of sheep that we find in the church. Different types of sheep. Jesus said in John chapter 10 verse 16, he said, "Another sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." So Jesus was talking about sheep. In fact, in John 10, he says, "My sheep hear my voice." Jesus kept referring to the church as sheep. But the sheep in the church are made up of different types. The first type of sheep we find in the church is what I call bastard sheep. Bastard sheep. Who is a bastard? According to the dictionary, anyone without a known father or parent is a bastard. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 15, the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul says, "For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." Now, bastard sheep don't have a father. When I talk about a father, I'm talking about a pastor. They don't have one they call their pastor. They refuse to accept the father ministry of the pastor. It's very important to remember that every Christian must accept the father ministry of a pastor of a church so that they can submit to their oversight. Today we have so many Christians, their pastor is on TV or their pastor is on social media. Now, it is not wrong to listen to people on social media, but it is wrong to be pastored on social media. Or it is wrong not to have a local church where you submit to, where you have a pastor giving you oversight. In fact, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 14 that one day Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said to the disciples, "Lift up your eyes unto the harvest, for the harvest is ripe." And the Bible says he was moved with compassion because the people were like sheep without a shepherd. God is interested in his sheep always having a shepherd. As long as the pastor is not preaching anything contrary to the gospel of Christ, you must be in that local church until God says otherwise. So if you refuse to accept the father ministry of the pastor, it makes you a bastard sheep. Bastard sheep have many fathers. Every preacher is their father. There are many anointed preachers. There are many anointed apostles. Many anointed prophets. Many anointed evangelists. Many anointed pastors and teachers. But you have at every particular time one father. Amen. One local church pastor you submit to. If you can hear me, give me a believing amen. Then there is the second group of sheep that I call solitary sheep. The word solitary means being alone, being alone. So solitary sheep are alone. In Psalm 68 verse 6, Psalm 68 verse 6, the Bible says, God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are born unto prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. God is the one who sets the solitary in families. God does not want his sheep to be solitary or to be alone. He doesn't want I walk alone. Solitary sheep are always isolated. Why? Because some of them have been hurt before and they don't want to be hurt. Solitary sheep always complain about others. And they are not interested in what happens to others. And their isolation saddens them. They are always saying that nobody cares about me, but they don't care for anybody too. And I know people who come to church and they say, "Well, I came to church and nobody greeted me." Did you greet somebody? Hello? Ask the person sitting by you, did you greet somebody? Amen. It's a two-way street. The Bible says that he who has friends must show himself friendly. Amen. You can't complain that nobody greeted you if you didn't greet anybody. You can't complain that nobody showed you love if you didn't show anybody love. Solitary sheep. Yes. And I lost a loved one and nobody came. Did you go to somebody? When somebody lost their loved one, did you go? Because if somebody lost the loved one and you were not there to mourn with the person, how do you expect other people to come and mourn with you? Solitary sheep always withdraw. They isolate themselves. They are sheep, but they isolate themselves. It leads me to the third group of sheep in the church. And these are hermit sheep. Hermit sheep. A hermit is one who lives in solitude for religious reasons. In the Dark Ages, hermits were monks. They were monks in the church. They resorted to caves. And most of them wrote a lot of good things for us. Amen. However, if you belong to a local church, you are not supposed to be a hermit. You are not supposed to isolate yourself. You are not supposed to be so religious that nobody can relate to you. Hermit sheep are so religious, nobody can relate to them. They are so holy in inverted commas, you can't even talk to them. Because when they are coming to church, they carry their big Bible, and the way they make their face, when we are worshiping the way they do their work, it's different. They build social walls around themselves. They don't want anybody to penetrate. They don't want anybody to have access to them. They are so spiritual. And they make themselves special occasion Christians. You see them only on special occasions. When they come to church, they even hide. They don't like to sit up in front. They don't like to sit in the middle. When they sit in the back, they hide. Because they are so spiritual, nobody should relate to them. They are hermit sheep. They are easily offended. They are coming to church, and probably the seat they were going to sit on, maybe something had happened to the seat, and they just get offended. They are going to give their offering, and then they try to give it, and it doesn't go, and they think that somebody is orchestrating something against them. They are easily offended. When they get corrected, they get offended. Sheep who easily get offended are sheep for the slaughter. The enemy slaughters them. They set themselves up when the devil wants to destroy any believer, what he does is that he makes that believer a hermit sheep. He isolates that believer. You know, the Bible says we are priests and kings. Before a king or a notable person can be assassinated, he has to be isolated where the people who are supposed to protect him or her are not there. And that is what happens to hermit sheep. They isolate themselves. And because they isolate themselves, they become an easy prey for wolves. Now, in Ghana, our sheep, you can't really use. Jesus was talking about, when he was talking about sheep, or when God talks about sheep, he normally refers to the Middle Eastern sheep. And the Middle Eastern sheep, they have natural wool, and that natural wool can grow and cover their eyes and their ears if they are not sheared. So regularly they have to be sheared. Can you, my IT people, can you give me, yes. You see, this is how the wool blinds the sheep, really blinds them. At times it covers their ears. They can't even hear. That's how they are. So when you read the Bible, it talks about they have to be sheared. That means that the wool has to be removed from their skin. The extensive wool impedes their movement when danger is even approaching, because the wool has covered their eyes. Wolves can easily eat them up. In the same way, sheep who are hermit sheep, because they are not sheared. How do we shear the sheep in church? By the preaching of the gospel. You see that sheep there? He's blind by the wool. And so there's a wolf coming to eat it, and he didn't even see. And that's what happens to hermit sheep. And so the shepherd has to periodically shear them. Because if he doesn't shear them, they become sluggish. They become sluggish, they become slow. And so a good shepherd will shear the sheep from time to time. A good shepherd will use the knife, or these days they have razors by which they shear the sheep, because the wool will cover their eyes and cause them to become a problem. In the same way, the pastor will have to shear the sheep by the preaching of the word. And the Bible tells us that the word of God is for rebuke. It's for admonition, it's for exhortation, and it's for a warning. And so a good pastor will not only use the word of God to excite the people. A good pastor will use the word of God to shear the sheep, so that the sheep will not become a prey for the wolves. If you are here with me, give me an amen. Then there's a fourth kind of sheep. The fourth kind of sheep is the wandering sheep. The wandering sheep. In Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 6. Ezekiel 34, verse 6. God says, "My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them." So what happens is that the wandering sheep, wandering means to be aimless or slow or pointless or not focused. Wandering sheep move from place to place. They go from church to church. Today they are in this church, tomorrow they are in that church. They have no commitment to any local church. They have no commitment to any local church. Why? Because they are never satisfied with what God is doing in their church. They are never satisfied. Listen to me, church. The truth of the matter is, no church is perfect. Amen? Oh, you didn't hear me. No church is perfect. And I always make a joke that the church was perfect until you joined. You get the joke? The church was perfect until you joined. Because immediately you joined, the perfection ceased. Because you are a human being. And God is still perfecting that which concerns you. Give Him praise. Give Him praise. Give Him praise. Wandering sheep are chronic complainers. They complain about everything. Nothing satisfies them. Everything is wrong. Everything is a problem. Wandering sheep are always complaining. They are never satisfied. And every time they are comparing, every time they are comparing, they don't see anything good. They don't see anything good. And they are always living in the past. The church used to be. The church used to be. The church used to be. Now, in a church goes through different stages. Churches start as small churches. Any church below 200 is a small size church. There are three major types of churches. At times we divide it into five. But there are three major: small churches, medium-sized churches, and mega churches. Any church below 200 is a small-sized church. In a church below 200, everybody knows everybody. The pastor goes to everybody's home. It's a church below 200. But if a church is going to grow, and every church must grow, because Jesus said that you may bear fruit and that your fruit might abide. Amen. And when you bear fruit, this, when you bear fruit, then you will ask anything in my name and I will do it. So God wants increase. In fact, he prophesied about his church and he said, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be on top of the other mountains and the people shall flow into it. So God wants his church to grow, and he proved it in the Acts of the Apostles, when on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were saved. And the Bible says, and the Lord added to the church such as should be saved. Amen? So in God's arithmetic, God wants the church to grow. Tell somebody, God wants the church to grow. And so in a small size church, everybody knows everybody. And if the pastor does not really preach about increasing the church, the people will stop the church from growing. Because the people are already a clique. And in small size churches that don't grow, they don't even want new people to come. How many are here with me? Amen. And so the pastor will have to teach the people and show them that they should open up, and that is why they have to create cells so that they can still maintain that closeness in their various communities, but open up for the church to grow. And so a church from 200 to 500 or 700 is a medium-sized church. And then when the church hits 1,000, we call it a mega church. If you are here with me, give me an amen. And so there are people, when the church begins to grow, they begin to say, now I've been through those stages, so I know what I'm talking about. I remember when we were in Tamale, somebody could visit me and we could spend 1 hour chatting. And then I came to Accra and the church began to grow. And some of the people in Tamale visited me. And when they were entering my office, my secretary said to them, I give you 10 minutes. And they went back to Tamale and said, the bishop has backslided. So I went to preach in Tamale. And I said, no, I haven't backslided. It's because when I was here, I had 200 and something, almost 300 or more people. But now I'm pastoring thousands of people. Now, if I was spending 1 hour with you at that time, now I can't do it. Because if I do it, then the church cannot grow. Amen? And so, for wandering sheep, they are always in the past. It used to be like that. This is how we used to do it. No. They never notice changes. They never see that the church is changing. And things are changing. And because of that, they don't last in any church. And they spread their discontent. Because they are discontented, they spread their discontent. And the amazing thing is that they attract people like them. Some way, somehow, because they are always complaining, somehow their antennas or they are so magnetic. The kind of friends they have are also complainers. So you see. If you are saying amen, say it better. Because they have a complaining spirit, they end up attracting people with a complaining spirit. And so they are never satisfied and they create problems for the church. Then there is the fifth group of sheep, the Judas sheep. The Judas sheep. In John chapter 18 verse 2, it says, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted there with his disciples. Who is Judas? One who betrays friendship. Now, Judas' sheep always backslide or easily backslide. Judas' sheep spread wrong things about the church. They keep spreading wrong things about the church. And most of the time, those who are Judas' sheep are leaders or people in an effective role. Most of the time, those who don't play any role in the church, when they become wolves, they are not too effective. But the devil always targets those who are doing something in the church, because he himself was a big time praise and worship leader. In fact, he commanded 1/3 of the angels. And he was gifted. You hardly see people who are not gifted creating problems in the church. Normally, the people who are gifted, good preachers, praise and worship leaders, prayer warriors, technical people, I mean, people who are doing something, cell leaders, foundational class teachers, those who are doing something, who are gifted, they are the ones the devil, you know, Judas was one of the apostles, gifted, a gifted accountant, gifted, and anointed by Jesus, but he betrayed Jesus. So they spread wrong things about the church. And they are noisy opinion leaders. If they want to express their opinion, they won't go to leadership to express their opinion. They will instead, and their opinion might be wrong, but they will express it where there are people to poison the people. Judas sheep. Normally they are self-deceived. They have an exaggerated opinion of themselves. And the sad thing is that they always lead others to the slaughter. Judas sheep are always having opposing views. You see, the church is not a political party and it is not parliament. Amen? In parliament, there's always the government in power and opposition party. In the house of God, it is not like that. In the house of God, it is thus saith the Lord, and this is what the Lord wants us to accomplish. Amen? Or give me a believing amen. I don't mean that the pastor shouldn't listen to people. Now, that's why we have a church board. Amen? That's why we have a church board. And our church board is made up of noble people. Amen? Say noble people. Put your hands together for our church board members. Amen. Can we have our church board members stand? Let the church appreciate you. Our church board members, can you stand? Let the church appreciate you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. So, people who are Judas sheep, they are always having opposing views. It is not wrong to differ in your opinion with the pastor, but then you need to communicate it. You don't have to poison the water, muddy the waters. Amen. They are always slandering the leader. Judas sheep are unruly. When you correct them, they don't accept it. And because of that, most of them die prematurely. These are the 5 types of sheep that are negative sheep. And I'm going to stop here. Because next week, we'll be talking about the kind of sheep that the Christian must be. The kind of sheep that the church member must be. Give the Lord praise. Before I conclude, I was in France and we had an explosion of miracles, healings, and signs and wonders. Amen. Now I read a verse, or one of the sermons I preached was God's visitation. I've heard some preachers say that, well, because God is in us, when we say that God visited his people or God is going to visit us, it is wrong. Don't make a mistake. In Luke chapter 7, verse 16, when Jesus raised the widow's dead son, the people said, the Bible says, there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying, that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God has visited his people. Listen, church, when God visits, when God visits. God is with you all the time, but when he really visits, you know that he has passed through. Are you here with me? And I'm going to take you into Paris. In the 4 days, God passed through the place. Amen? And if my TV people are ready, let's go to Paris.
Ce que le Seigneur va faire pour vous,
and in your life,
et dans votre vie,
and in your family,
et dans votre famille,
and in your church,
et dans votre église,
and in your community,
et dans votre communauté,
and in France,
et en France,
you will never recover from this visit.
Vous n'allez jamais vous en remettre.
Thank you, Lord, because this week at the heart of the French-speaking world, His glory was manifested mightily in the explosion of miracles, healings, and deliverance. You showed up in your numbers both at the Cité Royale and in our local churches to experience the power of God with His servant, Archbishop Charles Ajin Asare.
Alors que la parole arrive,
let the sick be healed.
Que les malades soient guéris.
Let the demonized be set free.
Que ceux qui sont démoniaques soient délivrés.
Let your power be felt.
Et que ta puissance soit ressentie.
In the name of Jesus.
Au nom de Jésus.
Any blood disease.
Toute maladie de sang.
Being touched by the power.
Est en train d'être touchée par la puissance du Saint-Esprit.
The Holy Spirit is purifying your blood.
Le Saint-Esprit est en train de purifier votre sang.
Some of you after this meeting you will see because you by the time you run the test the doctor will be surprised.
Certains d'entre vous lorsque le médecin va faire les tests il sera surpris.
That things have changed.
Parce que les choses auront changé.
But you came believing God for a miracle tonight.
Si tu es là et que tu crois en Dieu pour un miracle,
you will receive a miracle.
Tu vas recevoir le miracle.
Strokes be healed.
Que les AVC soient guéris.
Neck problems be healed.
Que les problèmes de cou soient guéris.
It was truly an explosion of miracles and healings. We saw the blind see, the deaf hear, those who couldn't walk lifting their wheelchairs, walking without their crutches. It was really an explosion of miracles. The miracles were so many that we couldn't show them all. But these are just a few.
C'est comme ça que maman est arrivée. Maintenant, soulève la canne.
Put it on your shoulder.
Mets ça sur ton épaule.
And watch here, let me
et
see.
Marche vers là-bas. Okay. Cette sœur est musulmane. Elle a décidé de venir cet après-midi avec son amie. Elle avait une grosseur dans le dos. Et après la prière,
la grosseur
a disparu. Ce jeune homme, pendant 2 ans, ne pouvait plus entendre de l'oreille gauche. Après la prière, soudainement, l'oreille gauche s'est ouverte.
Ce que dit 1, 2, 3, 4.
Cette jeune dame ici, donc elle ne pouvait pas se mettre debout ou marcher. Après la prière,
she left her aid there.
Elle a laissé son aide.
Now I was sitting inside, push me.
Maintenant je vais m'asseoir, poussez-moi.
Bah elle est née, ça fait 12 ans comme ça, malentendant. Mais sans l'appareil, il n'entendait pas.
So for 12 years, he can't hear without hearing aids. Mm.
Thank you.
Mama,
Mama,
it's a souvenir of God's miracle.
C'est un souvenir du miracle de Dieu.
Tonight I came with my daughter. She had myopia. She had a detached retina. She woke up one morning and said she couldn't see. Since 2021, when we came to France, she has undergone surgery 5 times. So for about 4 years, she hasn't been able to see anything at all. Tonight, she said when the pastor asked us to pray, I held her hand and asked her to place one hand on her eye. And a lot of tears began to flow from her eyes. So I was wondering what the pastor said that was causing her eyes to be teary. And she said she didn't know why. When the pastor asked us to do what we couldn't do before, I said, since she couldn't see without the glasses, I removed the glasses and asked if she could see the light. She said yes, she could see me without the glasses. Can you see the lights? Show me. Where? Can you see? Where? There.
She was blind, completely blind.
She can see.
Maintenant, elle peut voir. Correctly. Tu es la maman? Vous êtes la maman? Vous êtes la maman? 12 ans, regarde-moi.
Touch my nose.
Touche mon nez.
My nose.
Touche mon nez.
Oh!
She was due for surgery on Tuesday because of a head problem, because she had serious migraines. But last night, after Papa prayed, all the pain left. She couldn't sleep without her medication. But last night, she tried to sleep without the medication. And after checking, she realized she was able to sleep without any pain at all. This lady, since her birth, she had a persistent body odor. She couldn't walk around freely without carrying her deodorant. Very regularly, she had to use the spray. But after the prayer,
je peux bien la sentir. Il avait des appareils.
He had a hearing aid.
Sa maman est là.
His mother is here.
Et aujourd'hui, il est venu sans les appareils.
Today he came without the hearing aid.
Et pendant que vous priez.
And when you were praying,
il a été guéri.
He heard possibly he was healed.
Parce qu'il entend tout ce que vous dites.
And he could hear everything you
et
said.
Il a dit à sa maman,
and he told his mother.
Et sa maman parlait. Il entend tout ce que
and
sa maman
she spoke.
Disait.
I've suffered from multiple sclerosis for about 14 years. The prayer for healing really set me free, particularly from my head down to the back of my neck. I had stiffness in the neck, but now I'm living without the stiffness. Also, I came with my sticks, but I'm going home without them. Since 1998, I suffered from a herniated disc, and they couldn't operate on it. Last night, I followed the service. Papa prayed for us, and I placed my hand on my back. I felt a warmth moving through my whole body, and now I'm okay. Oh, see how I'm running. I who used to drag my feet, I who couldn't speak anymore, look at my feet. See how I'm walking. To climb into bed, I had to lift my leg. Look, after the prayer of the Archbishop, look at me. I'm running. Ah, I'm running. I'm running, Jesus. The will of God the Father is to see us saved, healed, and delivered. Today, get ready to receive a touch from God and tell your neighbor, get ready today.
Oh, give the Lord praise. Amen. If you are sick in any part of your body, will you please stand? Let me pray for you. If you are sick in any part of your body, stand. Let me pray for you. The same anointing. The last bit of the testimonies where people were healed either with their church connected to the service in different cities, or they were watching in their room, and so they sent the videos to them showing how God has touched them. And there were hundreds of miracles that happened in the rooms and the homes of people. So for those of you watching me by television, and watching by YouTube and Facebook and any means by which you are watching me, get ready for your healing. Lift up one hand, lay the other hand where you are hurting. Heavenly Father, thank you for your miracle working power. I commit your people into your hands. Satan, you know me, you would obey me, for I don't come in my name. I come in the powerful and miraculous name of Jesus. And right now I bind every spirit of eye problem, every spirit of ear problem, every spirit of back problem, every spirit of weakness and pain. And I ask that right now every spirit of cancer be bound in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of skin disease be bound in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of growth disappear in the name of Jesus. And right now I ask that God's miracle working power shall touch you and uproot every sickness from you. And I command healing into your body, that the lightnings of God will blast into your being. Holy Spirit, stretch forth your hands and touch your people in the name of Jesus. We celebrate you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your power in Jesus' name. Give the Lord a mighty clap offering. Give it to Jesus. Oh, you can do it better than that. Give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. By the time you examine yourself, you see your sickness is gone. Amen. Oh, give the Lord a better clap offering. Their surprise was that I didn't even touch anybody, but the Holy Spirit touched everybody. Give Him praise. Give Him thanks. Will you bow down your head with me? If you are here this morning and you want to give your life to Jesus, you want your sins forgiven, will you please lift up one hand? I want to pray with you. You want your sins forgiven? Yes, lift up one hand. I'm going to pray with you. You want to receive Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior? Lift up one hand. I'm going to pray with you. You want to be a new person? Will you please lift up one hand? And will you pray this prayer with me? Will you say, "Dear God, forgive me all my sins. Lord Jesus died for me. You rose for me. Come into my life. Make my life a testimony to those who know me. Thank you, Lord, for answered prayer. In Jesus' name." Put your hand on your chest. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I pray that these ones will know you and be established in you by the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, will you please stand with me? And if today is your first day worshiping with us, take your Bible, your bag, your purse. Church, lift up your two hands. Heavenly Father, we came to you this morning to receive from you. I pray for your people. I ask that you will touch your people in the name of Jesus and meet everyone at the point of their need. I pray that those believing you for any breakthrough in their homes, let it happen. In their workplace, let it happen. With their children, with their education, Lord, let it happen. Let testimonies abound to your praise and glory. In Jesus' name, may God cause His face to shine upon you. May His favor overshadow you. May your going out and coming in be blessed. Go in the power of the Lord.
Feel free to get in touch with us on social media and share your story on how God is impacting your life. You can also follow on Twitter and like our Facebook page. Remember that Genesari is one word and not hyphenated. And look for the name that has a blue tick to show it's verified. Help us spread the word. tell your friends, loved ones, and family about our podcast on Google Play Store, Podbean, and on iTunes. Stay blessed.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 2676760 55 +233 2676760 55 or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.